This is Srinivas Rao, the host of the Vistage podcast series. Today I'm speaking with Bob Posen, the author of Extreme Productivity, Boost Your Results, Reduce Your Hours. Bob is a senior lecturer at Harvard Business School and a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. He was a chairman of MS Investment Management and vice chairman of Fidelity Investments. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us and share some of your insights with the Vistage listeners, Bob.
Glad to be with you.
So I'm going to ask you my very first question, and that is, how did you come to write this book?
I was working two full-time jobs at the same time. I was chairman of MFS Investment Management, and I was teaching a full course load at Harvard Business School. And the people at Harvard Business Review were always amazed that I got my articles in on time. So they said, what's your secret juice? So they asked me to do an interview, went online, and seemed to get a lot of buzz. So that led to the book.
Interesting. Well, so you're working two full-time jobs and writing for the Harvard Business Review and managed to write a book. So naturally, the next question I'm going to have for you is, how do you balance your work and family life, especially with the kind of the workload you've taken on?
Well, I always get home for dinner at 7 p.m. with my wife and my family, and I've done that since I was a young employee. I find that's critical. There are lots of people who say they have to stay late or emergencies, but I really don't believe them. Sure, there are occasional real emergencies, but you got to get into a different rhythm. If you really have to, you can go to back to work afterwards after dinner at 10 o'clock or make calls or something like that. But I think that's the key. Same thing on weekends. You can work early on Saturday morning when your teenagers are sleeping, but you should really try to keep as much time as you can with them. But that requires that you be efficient and productive the hours that you are working, and that's the key to the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, one of the things that seems very relevant to what you brought up is this whole idea that we tend to fill the time that we've allotted to a particular task. So if we give ourselves less time, at least I found this in my own experience, we tend to finish things in a much shorter amount of time.
Yeah, I'm totally in agreement with you. If you schedule a meeting for 3 hours, it lasts for 3 hours. If you schedule a meeting for 1 hour, it lasts for 1 hour, and usually you can get just as much accomplished. I think the other conceptual problem is lots of people are very proud of the number of hours they work and how many hours they work a day. It's not the hours you work that's important. It's what you produce. And if you think about your customers and your clients, that's what they're interested in, what you achieve, not the hours that you work.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think back to something that the authors of Rework wrote about. They said, you know, we kind of live in this culture where people seem to praise workaholism, or they brag about it. It's almost they treat it as though it gives you bragging rights, even though what they have said is that it just means you're producing lower quality work when you're working way too much.
Well, I agree totally. And the worst offenders, of course, are the law firms, the accounting firms, consulting firms, which actually bill by the hour. Mm-hmm. So the more hours you work, the more they can bill. But that doesn't mean that you're doing a good job for the clients. It's an incentive to take longer to do the work and to overstaff and over-research. The other phenomenon we see, and even in firms that don't bill by the hour, is FaceTime. You know, it's you can't leave the office at 4 o'clock, even if you finished all your work, because then people will say you're lazy. These are really big mistakes that firms just have to change their culture. Otherwise, they're just going to be dragged down by the supremacy of hours as opposed to product.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think what you're talking about is largely sort of a byproduct of the industrial era, and now we've sort of moved into this sort of information and connection age. So what I'm curious about is how organizations and business owners can start transitioning to that sort of a mindset and that sort of a culture.
Well, you're right. It's much easier to just, and it's historically surely a lot easier just to say, well, how many hours you put in. But what you've really got to do is start to have conversations between employees and their bosses or team leaders as to what do we want to accomplish this week? What are our priorities? And what are our metrics for achieving that? And so if we can reach agreement on those things, then it's no longer relevant how many hours you put in. It's whether you can meet those priorities and hit those metrics.
So let me ask you this, you know, where do you see people going wrong with this process? I mean, we've hit a few things, but from a tactical perspective, and what have you seen that really causes people's productivity to plummet?
Well, I think a few things. The first is a lot of people are totally overwhelmed by emails. They spend all their day passively responding to email. My solution is twofold. One is immediately throw away 80 to 90% of your emails. You can tell by the titles and the subject matter that these are just repetitive things or solicitations for money or things that really aren't important. You should flag the ones from your boss. Those are different. And find the ones that are important. And that's the second rule, Ohio. Only handle it once. If something's an important email, sit down right then and there and respond to it. Don't put it off. If you put it off for a week, then you'll spend another hour trying to look and find it. The second thing is most people just spend much too much time in meetings. People really need to think carefully about why you're having a meeting. It's useful to have a meeting to debate topics, to brainstorm, to meet some people you haven't met. Those are all reasonable, but lots of people have meetings for things that could really be done just through the dissemination of a memo. And then when you have a meeting, I like to try to keep meetings to an hour or at the most an hour and a half, and try to keep a really tight agenda and really work to the agenda, and then at the end of the meeting have to-dos, allocate them, and have new time limits for when those things need to be done. And then the third thing is a lot of people tell me they're overwhelmed by their reading. They have so much reading matter, they don't know what to do. My solution to that is very straightforward. You have to think about why are you reading this? What's your purpose in reading? And then really go for that purpose. When I read the Boston Globe, for instance, I'm reading it for local events and for sports. I don't spend a lot of time if there's an article on national politics or international economics at the Globe. I don't read it. I just skip it. The key to reading quickly is to know what your purpose is and to skip over things that aren't consistent with your purpose and really hone in on the purpose. In my book, I suggest take a chapter of a book and at the end, write the paragraph that you want to remember a month from now and then start reading for that paragraph. That will really build in the discipline you need.
Well, you know, I love that you brought up the idea of email and responding quickly to certain things. One of my favorite things is to always say is that World War III isn't going to erupt in your inbox.
I like that.
And, you know, and I have found, and I've only found this through experience, is there will be certain days when I am out and away from the computer. And I found that I'm forced not to be in front of the computer and I have to respond to everything within an hour. I'm amazed that I can respond to almost everything in my inbox that I would get over the course of an entire day within an hour.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true. But the key is not to respond to a lot of it, just to let it go.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I probably delete a good amount of what I get, and I think that's really important as opposed to reading a lot of it. I'll make one recommendation since we're on the subject of email. There's a service called unroll.me, which actually allows you to basically roll up all your spam and newsletters and all those things into one sort of service so you can view those separately from your main email. So I just wanted to put that out there for people who are listening. One other thing that I'm very curious about, you know, we're talking about email, and I think this will make a sort of a nice relevant tie to talking about content consumption. We live in a world that is very, very heavy with distractions, with things like social media, with Facebook, with Twitter, and a constant stream of information being thrown at us. So what I'm curious about is how we deal with those distractions to make sure that we can be more productive.
Well, I think you really have to make sure, and a lot of employers are starting to do this, that you don't spend a lot of time on FaceTime and Facebook, and a lot of time just playing games and these sorts of things. The key is to start off each week by understanding what your priorities are. What are you trying to get accomplished that week? And then to hone in on that. If you don't do that, you're going to spend a lot of time being passive and responding to other people and wasting time by doing emails and games and these sorts of things. So the key is to know what you want to accomplish, and then at the end of the week, really check yourself and see if you've accomplished that. That's really the key. There are a lot of specific methodologies that I suggest that help you get there. For example, if you're going to write something, write an outline. If you don't write an outline, you're going to take twice as long to write it because you're going to get lost in the middle or not know where it's going. But that's just the technique. The key is to understand what it is that you're really trying to accomplish and make sure that you accomplish it each week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really, really great point. One other piece I want to talk about in a little more depth is, you know, you talked about reading and reading more efficiently. I think one of the things, again, and this is very related to our sort of discussion of social media, is that we have all these inputs that are thrown at us. And one of the things I have started to realize in my own experience is that when you consume things with an intent, you're a lot more efficient. Otherwise, you just consume information for the sake of consuming information, and there's really no organizational methodology to all of the information you take in.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I suggest that if you're reading an article on an online article, you start by reading the introduction, and then you immediately go to the conclusion. And then you'll have a good sense of what the themes are, what the organization is. You then go back through the body and just read the tops of the paragraphs and see, is this something that's really important to me? If you read the article chronologically, you're just going to keep going and going passively. You haven't forced yourself to think, what's this article really saying, and is it important to me? It may turn out that after you read the introduction and the conclusion, you don't really want to read anymore. Or alternatively, you may just read for certain big themes. Or alternatively, you might want to pick up a few examples. That's all you want. The key is to know your purpose in reading and really focus on it.
Mm-hmm. So one final question for you, Bob. We've talked specifically about our own actions on a day-to-day basis, and I think I've learned one of the keys is delegating certain things. So I'm curious, what is the key to delegating effectively?
Well, for anybody who has a team or is a boss or works with employees, delegation is a key to your productivity because it's getting other people to do either your low priority stuff or things that you can't possibly have time with. So the first thing about delegating is to get good people. Some employees I know are willing to have the HR department do the recruitment. That's a big mistake. You have to personally interview people and really recruit your own team. Then you have confidence in them. Second is you got to sit down with them every week and really set your priorities, their priorities, and metrics. And you got to have them suggest what are going to be the metrics of success. If you're just ordering people around and telling them to do this and do that, then there's no buy-in. Third of all, I always say you got to have the mid-flight review. Sometimes in the middle of the week or the middle of the project, you got to report back. You got to see whether they got to revise the goals, revise the metrics. And then most importantly, you got to be willing to tolerate mistakes. If you're not willing to tolerate mistakes, then you can't be a good delegator because then the first time there's a mistake, you want to take control and do it all. But there's a difference between making a mistake once and making a mistake twice. And one of my favorite sayings is, let's make a new mistake. And by that, I mean it's okay to make a mistake the first time as long as you can learn from it and constructively change it. But if you keep making mistakes over and over again, then that's a real problem.
Thanks a lot. Well, Bob, this has been really, really insightful. Can you tell our listeners where they can find out a little bit more about your work?
Well, I have a webpage, bobposen.com, and on Amazon, there's a little video about the book. The book was just named number 3 out of all the business books by Fast Company, so it's really an up-and-coming book, and I'm very pleased to see the amount of take-up that it's gotten.
Well, Bob, thanks so much for taking the time to join us and share some of your insights with the Vistage listeners. This has been Srinivas Rao, the host of the Vistage podcast, and until next time, good luck with your business.